Rebus composed this on his piano at home last night. I think it's pretty neat. It's a good job. I don't know who's beating on the pots and pans in the background. Is that your brother? It's the roundtable here on the home of the Winnipeg Jets, TSN 1290 and TSN1290.ca. Still to come, we'll speak with Jeff Patterson of our affiliate Team 1040 in Vancouver. We'll talk about the change that's taken place out there. Bill Waters will join us. We'll talk about Mark Gandler, the agent for Alexander Burmistrov, and what may transpire this offseason between, Kevin Cheveldayoff and Mark Gandler. We'll basically revisit how Wilbur had good times with Mark Gandler and dealing with the contracts of Karpatsev and Dmitry Skavich. But there's other Winnipeg Jets, both unrestricted free agents and restricted free agents, coming up this season. Not only Alexander Burmistrov, but there are the other, I think what others, with all due respect, refer to as the big three, and that is Blake Wheeler, Zach Bogosian, and the little guy, Brian Little. And joining us to talk about it, because he's gone through, now, he hasn't gone through the Corsi stuff, which drives me absolutely crazy. I take the stats and throw them at those kind of stats analysis and throw them at baseball, but I find it a hard sell with hockey, 100%. But with a statistical analysis, Richard Pollock of the Illegal Curve, Hockey Show, joining us. How you doing?
Good, Rick. How are you?
I'm well. What did you do? Spend up a couple of nights putting this together? There's a lot of research into this.
Well, you know, the World Championships preempted us this past Saturday, so I figure I might as well use the time wisely.
Ah, yes. You're one of those. Well, look, I've read through the three of them, and it's interesting comparison, and I must say that without doing some of the statistical analysis off the top of my head on memory, I came somewhat similar to some of the numbers that you had. But the one that really intrigues me now, not so much intrigues me, but we go back to the lockout and what was changed during the lockout going forward, to me has enabled the Winnipeg Jets to have an easier time of retaining the services of a Zach Bogosian than it may have had in the offseason, say, last year under the old CBA. Is that fair?
Yeah, you know, I think it is fair, Rick. I think Bogosian, especially, you mentioned him, he seems to have a place here. And the maxing of the contract, I think, is a huge factor. Obviously, the variance year to year, I think your point's well taken, because the huge offers that Shea Weber got and other players have received, although they're few and far between, when they come, they're just gigantic. And you can't really do that anymore. So, and if you do, it kind of cripples your cap situation. So I would agree with that.
So now here you are, Kevin Cheveldayoff, the general manager of the Winnipeg Jets, and essentially Mark Chipman, who has the combination to the safe. And you're looking at comparables for him. And I know you've thrown out a couple of names, Alex Edler, Drew Doughty, and that's Drew Doughty, a good comparison, yet, I mean, a tough comparison. He'll always be kind of measured against him, of course.
Right.
He's almost a different kind of player. But you notice that the stats, while maybe special teams have kind of been stagnant for him, and that's not such a bad thing, other areas have improved in his game, and there seems to be a trust factor between the coaching staff and his performance. So when you're looking at this and what's his value on, it's not an open market, of course, he's a restricted free agent, but what's a fair value for this guy?
Well, it's a good question, Rick, because you look at Zach Bogosian, I find him to be a really interesting guy to value. You mentioned Edler, kind of a more offensive guy, and there's guys like Braden Coburn who are, was an Atlanta prospect traded for Alexei Zhitnik. Does a lot of similar things. Bogosian's a little bit more physical, I'd probably say, or at least mean the way he plays. I put him at $5.5 million, and that's based on a lot of factors. And you mentioned Drew Doughty. I think Drew Doughty is put in there. While he signed, Drew Doughty is different than some of the other players in that he signed his big contract right after his entry-level deal. So in Bogosian's situation, Cheveldayoff gave him what people term a bridge contract, a two-year deal. Let's see what you got, and let's see where we're at in 2 years. And I think Bogosian probably exceeded expectations overall from what they expected, especially with difficult transition and a year prior in Atlanta. So he has a pretty good year. He comes back, and he's had 5 years accrued in the National Hockey League, and if you have 7 years accrued in the NHL, you become a UFA based on the CBA. So Doughty signed an 8-year deal and signed away four what they're called RFA years, so years where the team has control of his rights, not necessarily what he makes, but his rights. And Bogosian has 2 years remaining, and then obviously he would become an unrestricted free agent and would hit the open market. So the reason they have it at 5.5 is because, you know, he's probably better than a guy like Braden Coburn and another player I use, Mark Edward Vlasic. But he's certainly not in the Doughty range, even if Doughty gave away a bunch of his RFA years and had more than Bogosian. And also, I think the issue is, you know, people talk about term, and I have him at 5.5 years. That's based on a six-year deal. An eight-year deal, to me, while Doughty signed it before there was a cap on contract, so he signed it before this new CBA was in place, eight years, you know, to me, only goes to the best player, the absolute preeminent top players in the league. And I don't think Bogosian is in that class, and I think you're kind of taking a little bit of a leap of faith to say that he's worth the absolute eight-year max.
I think the team would side with you on that, and Bogosian's agent may try and push the envelope a little bit. Mm-hmm. But it, to me, like a six-year deal at $5.5 million that you mentioned, I think if fans look that one over, they'd be, you know what, that's probably a fair value for him, and maybe a little more term on top of that, depending on – I mean, he's a real – the other part that doesn't show up in the stats is he's a real character guy. Mm-hmm. He's real popular. Mm-hmm. He's popular in the city. And there's that kind of an image that the team, I think, likes to portray that while it doesn't necessarily help you directly on the ice in a game, it helps in the big picture.
And that's a good point. And, you know, you were in Toronto, of course, during the years when I remember Ty Domi signed for fairly significant amounts of money based on what he was contributing. And a lot of the argument based from his representatives was based on the fact that he was big in the community and to that city had a certain value. So you can bet that, you know, his agents are going to push. I think it's Bob Murray's his agent's going to push and say, hey, you know, this guy's really happy here. He wants to settle down here. Why wouldn't you go to the eight-year max? Because, you know, everybody will be happy with that.
Richard Pollock joining us here on TSN 1290 from the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Blake Wheeler's another guy that you've had a look at, and, you know, there's a big power forward, though there's not that many out there. I mean, he's not available either. He's a restricted free agent. But now there's the curious case of, to me, these two that played with the captain, Andrew Ladd, and the other one being Brian Little. Mm-hmm. And we'll touch on Wheeler first because I think there may be a little bit more value in the big power forward there is in a smallish guy that's decent, not great, but decent on draws.
I totally agree. I mean, Wheeler's an interesting one. Coming up with comparables for him, I thought was a little bit difficult. I tried to limit it to right wingers because he's obviously a right winger. And I think when you start comparing forwards, you know, centers have a different responsibility defensively, obviously with faceoffs, as you mentioned. So the right wingers, you know, have guys like Jakub Voracek and P.A. Parenteau and Wayne Simmonds. And those are kind of guys, I think, that Teddy Purcell was the other one, are comparables for what Wheeler provides. Now, Wheeler has a little bit more opportunity, I think, in Winnipeg than some of those guys do. But overall, their outputs are fairly similar, and they've signed contracts recently with a kind of similar amount of time accrued. So in terms of setting his marketplace, I think his agent's going to push the hardest for a high number. I think there's probably going to be the biggest discrepancy on a per-year basis, I think, for Wheeler than either Bogosian or Little.
You look at Wheeler like with a term. What have you got him at, about 4 years?
Four-year deal? Yeah, four-year deal for 4.75 per year.
Yeah, and I don't have a problem with that. I think that's fair value. And again, I think the agent may argue for closer to five, but mm-hmm. I think 4.5 is even. And to me, I mean, we've heard from the captain, Andrew Ladd. He'd like to have the guys back. Ladd's got, I think, 3 more years on his contract. I don't know about staggering guys. If you bring Wheeler back for 4, you've got him ahead of the captain. What? I mean, where does Little fit in as well? Same kind of thing along the lines of Wheeler, but a little bit cheaper, I would think?
Yeah, exactly, Rick. I have Little at a 4-year pack for 3.75. So it's a little bit less than Wheeler. It's about a million less per year than Wheeler. They're coming in with the same amount of years accrued. So they're in basically the same negotiation position. But, you know, Wheeler's output's been better. And I think, to be honest, and I think you've probably alluded to this, I think Little benefits from playing with Ladd and Wheeler more than Wheeler and Ladd benefit from playing with Little. And that's not to denigrate what Little's done. I just think it's a different level. And consistently, you know, they put up better offensive totals than he does.
Now, suppose all three of these guys get signed by the Winnipeg Jets, roughly in these neighborhoods of numbers that you've thrown out. How's the overall cap situation look good then?
People talk. Yeah. You would know more than anybody, the calls that you get all the time. People talk about, well, when Antropov comes off the books and when Hainsey comes off the books. Well, when Antropov and Hainsey come off the books, which they're going to as of July 1st, July 5th, the money is essentially going to be paid into the team that's currently in place. And unless the Jets become a cap team, which I don't anticipate they will, then your hands are kind of tied because you have a fair amount of roster spots to fill, and while you can fill some of them with young guys, I don't think they're going to go into next season with half a team of, you know, entry-level guys. So unless you're moving out salary, and of course that name Dustin Byfuglien comes up again, then you're not going out to sign a big fish. Not that there are that many, but you're not going out to sign one.
Because you don't have the room.
That's right.
Huh. So you're trading guys. That's what it sounds like to me, Richard. You're trading guys.
Yeah, I think you have to. I think you have to create roster flexibility. You're trading guys. Because, Rick, if you think about it, I mean, you have Enstrom for $5.75 million per year on a cap hit, Bufflin at 5.2, and then if you get Bogosian at, say, who knows what it ends up being, but say it is 5.5. That's a big chunk of change. And remember, Enstrom's deal wasn't in place this year. It was just signed as an extension. So he's taking $2 million extra this year. So that's a ton of money tied up in three defensemen.
Yeah, that's a lot of money. And it's not ours. Well, that's the only neat thing about it. It's theirs.
Lucky it's theirs, not ours.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's interesting because I can see the numbers, and talking with other guys, it was like, yeah, those are all ballpark numbers that you think that those three would sign under, but the overall cap hit then becomes curious. And then again, that leads us to what I've been saying all along. This could potentially be a very interesting offseason for the Winnipeg Jets. It'll be interesting regardless because there's the buyout options that are available to teams as well. I don't see that being a situation that the Jets would use with regards to buyouts, but it becomes a very tumultuous, shall we say, offseason.
I would agree. I don't think the buyouts are going to be something utilized by the Jets, but I think this is the most interesting offseason. Obviously, this is, I guess, to be the third, but by far and away the most interesting offseason. I think it's going to give us the best indication of kind of the vision that Kevin Cheveldayoff has for the franchise.
Richard, I appreciate the time. Thought I'd avoid you, Illegal Curve guys, over the summer, but not the case. I'm off to a bad start.
Always a pleasure, Rick. Right. Love catching up.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Richard.